Hello, everybody. This is Excalibur of Excalibur Zone Gaming, and welcome to the first episode of the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition session report. This game is being run once a month on Sunday at a friend's house, and we're currently going through the Horde of the Dragon Queen module put out by Wizards of the Coast. Our group consists of myself and four players. We have Grawl, the Wild Elf Wizard. We have Olaf Fiddlebender, a halfling, Lightfoot halfling thief. Oh, sorry, rogue. We're in 5th edition now. We have Morn Everwood. I think that's Everwood. It's a human cleric. And finally, we've got Berend Strakaln, a dwarven fighter. This is really interesting because we have almost the stereotypical starter group that was pimped in the original Dungeons & Dragons, where you had the elven wizard, the human cleric, the dwarven fighter, and the halfling rogue. Well, actually, this is exactly what you have. Overall, the experience was positive, I believe. Everybody seemed to enjoy themselves, even though one of the players really likes the 4th edition grid-based combat over Mind's Eye Theater combat. Everything went pretty okay. We had two encounters, one with, I think it was 6 kobolds, and another with 8 kobolds. And in the first combat, nobody was prepared. There was no tactics. They tried to do some stealth. Two characters got advantage on the kobolds because they were stealthy and the kobolds weren't expecting it. And it was kind of fun because 2 kobolds went down and then the wizard went down. Almost all the time in old games, the wizard went down. Nobody liked that. They usually protected the dude, but this time nobody thought along those lines, and he was taken out. Actually, the halfling rogue was hiding behind the wizard at the time and started towards the city stealthily, but turned around and helped out the wizard get back into a stable condition. The cleric and the fighter did their grunt work and took out a majority of the combat, majority of the kobolds during the combats, and the poor cleric had such scary dice rolls. It was a wonder he survived, even with his lucky attribute that he took as his first level feat. We went with the feat variant rule, so humans could take a feat, an extra skill, and a plus one to two different abilities. And even with the luck, his rerolls almost always gave him the exact same result. So the poor guy is going to go out and get a new set of dice and see if that helps him. The fighter got down to 3 hit points from max in the very first combat and has already spent his second wind. There hasn't been enough time to do a short rest for everybody to spend healing surges. So we'll see how that goes. The first encounter was a random encounter right before they got into the city. And the city's name is Greenest, by the way. And the second one was an actual programmed encounter that leads them into the first of the missions that they have to go on. And we spent most of the session creating characters and generating the random bonds and flaws and everything. And it turned out to be pretty good. The player who was running the halfling rogue spent a good deal of time while everybody else was finishing up writing down a more complete background about what he was doing, based on what he had randomly rolled up for his background information. And it just, overall, it brought back a feeling of second edition D&D to me. It was really awesome. I enjoy the Mind's Eye Theater aspect better, and I've actually got books on how to do descriptive combat. So I'm going to be improving my descriptive combat skills quite a bit, and we're probably going to bring in a grid to at least show basic standing and direction and location, since everybody's pretty much used to the 3rd edition and 4th edition way of doing grid-based combat. I really dislike that. We have a small space. It's a larger table, one of the plastic fold tables that you use maybe at a picnic or something like that. You see them in about the size of a classroom table in a college classroom. And there's probably enough room to put a grid in the middle of the table and have everybody position their minis. But I'm not going to be sticking to any sense of tactics at all. Because I don't want to sit there for 3 hours running a combat when we could be getting a lot of the role-playing and missions and stuff going out of the way. Getting the adventure out of the way. I've also decided that I'm going to give out experience points. I found that in my previous game sessions that I ran, that if I didn't give out experience and went with the milestone route, which is about one level every 8 to 10 adventures, when you run a game that's twice a month or once a month, it takes forever for levels to go up. So I've decided that I'm going to give experience so that they have that that tangible accumulation of experience points so that they can actually see their growth rather than relying on how many adventures we've been on and the number of hours we've played. So hopefully that will work out well. The only optional rule that I didn't work with was the starting money. I had everybody grab the starting equipment from their class and background in order to make sure that things sped up, but it was okay. Things went pretty well. We had 2 players' handbooks at the table. I had a monster manual and, of course, the module. In November, I'm looking forward to getting the Dungeon Master's Guide. I've heard rumors that it's not very good, and I have a feeling that it's going to be mainly made up of content that should have been in the player's handbook to begin with, and plus some minor advice or encounter building stuff. We have the basic Dungeon Master's Guide online and the basic player's handbook online, and one of the players used the basic player's handbook to build his character. I think it was the Elven Wizard that did that, and then he randomly did the backgrounds, and there were alternate backgrounds and background features that were available in the module. 2 of the characters took an alternate background. I think it's Bond. Yeah, an alternate Bond. Nobody took any of the alternate features, so there were no covert dragon cultists or anything like that. So that was interesting. I stressed at the beginning of the game that I'd prefer that everybody played neutral or good characters with no evil, because I want it to be a positive thing and not have the other players turn against the evil character because he's going around killing indiscriminately or something like that. Overall, we also rolled our stats, by the way, and I had them do a 4d6, re-roll ones, and drop the lowest. I want them to have them be heroic so that they felt like they could do something. And the wizard had the highest stats of everybody and a lot of the abilities. And I just had everybody roll straight down from strength, constitution, dexterity, intelligence, wisdom, and charisma and put the scores there. Now, if the scores didn't support the character class, for instance, if you got an 8 in dexterity and then on the next one you had an 18 in intelligence or an 18 in any of the other stats, I allowed you to swap those 2 stats so that you had your highest prerequisite attribute set up so that you could easily be the class you wanted to be. And I think everybody built their characters with some aspect of multiclassing in mind. So I think that's going to be pretty awesome, pretty interesting to see. And I think next time it's going to be more interesting. We're going to get a couple of missions out of the way. We'll have a lot more time to play as well. And hopefully things will iron out with the combat and we'll be able to get nice fast games and not just one encounter a night. Because I remember D&D encounters having one or two, one big encounter or two small encounters on a Wednesday night. It felt like it was limited and you spent most of your time moving your miniature around and trying to figure out the best way to move to another miniature. And if I wanted that, I'd be playing Warhammer or Malifaux. But instead, I'd rather concentrate on getting that shared illusion going, everybody having the same mental spatial awareness. And the player who has issues with not using the grid combat has issues with visualizing distances and everything. So I'm going to try and hopefully get that descriptive combat system down so that's a lot easier for him to adapt to it and get more out of it. Plus, the grid will be there so that he'll be able to see what's adjacent and what's not and use the grid to move. But I'm not going to enforce things that much because I want the combats to go fast and smooth and I don't want to concentrate on squad tactics. Well, everybody survived the first two encounters, which is pretty good. We will see how they handle getting to the next part. I think there's going to be at least two or three encounters that they're going to go through before they get to safety and then start the actual missions of the evening. And I'll give it another session report in about a month. So until next time, enjoy playing games. Enjoy playing Dungeons and Dragons or Pathfinder or any other role-playing game that you prefer to play. Please like, favorite, and subscribe. Even though this is more of a podcast than anything else, I really appreciate seeing that people are watching my stuff and they like what I put out. I know I tend to come off a little bland most of the time, but I'm working on that and hopefully I'll improve. If you could please take a chance and peruse my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/excaliburzone. I explain exactly why I'm creating so much content and why I'm concentrating on games in particular. You should note that if you do become my patron, you support me by giving donations, that after fees and taxes have been taken out, that net amount is sliced in half, and half of that goes to charity, and the other half goes to more content, better production value, equipment, and living expenses. So, if you support me, you're not only supporting me, you're supporting other people who need the help. I will have a list of my charities, my charity portfolio up online as soon as I get all the information I need from them. And hopefully, you guys will consider supporting my efforts. As always, this is Excalibur, and I am out.